Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Veronica Crudup coming to you with the Word of God. I pray that your week has been fruitful and prosperous in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today we're going to talk about jealousy and competition in ministry. When we look in the Bible, competition and jealousy is all the way through it. And it starts with Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, starting at verse 4, when because Abel gave God his best offering and Cain gave God pretty much, in my opinion, his leftovers, then Cain became jealous of Abel because God blessed Abel. And so he was so jealous, and it was such a competitive thing with him, he killed his brother. That's how far it can take you. The Bible says in the book of Songs of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 6, that jealousy is like death. And we see it in ministry all the time, and it is not of God. And even when we look at Joseph, and his brothers hated him because he was a dreamer. And you know, he told them dreams that would have them being submitted to him, and they wanted him dead. The jealousy, the envy, the competition. And I have experienced that personally in my life with my siblings, even with my mother. I remember when I got called into ministry to tell my mother, but someone told her. And she stood out in her yard and she said, it should be me that's the minister and not you. I should be the one doing ministry because, see, I've done nothing wrong, but you've done everything. And I'll never listen to you because it should be me and not you. And from that day, probably to the time she left this earth, she made it her mission to try to destroy that. I couldn't believe it. I didn't understand it, but then I realized it was not her. It was the enemy operating in her. I'd always had a rough childhood where I was treated worse than my sister. I was expected to do grown-up stuff, make grown-up decisions, take care of my sisters, which I started keeping them when I was like 8 years old. And so I understand that, and even right now, I have a sibling who will say, they'll ask me something, and then when I tell them the truth, they'll say, I hate it when you write. I just hate it when you write. I really, really hate it when you write. And it's just, I've learned to overlook it, but I've had it in ministry where I've been to dinner with someone, and we're discussing the word, and she just looked at me and said, I can quote the Bible too. Just because I can't quote it like you, don't ever think. And I was not trying to impress her. I was telling her what the word said. So we have all of these issues in ministry. How can we minister to people when we need to be healed and delivered ourselves? You know, you need to catch yourself and realize that something is going on with you. But you need to deal with that, and you need to conquer that. I once, when I moved to Tennessee, I went to a church, And they were having some kind of revival that night, and the night I went, and this pastor called me up front. I was the last one. She said, I was hoping that you would come forward, so you didn't come, so I called you up. And she told the host pastor, she said, this woman needs to be a part of your church, a very major part of your church. And a couple of weeks later, I had this dream that the guest speaker kept saying, your pastor is not going to be around. She got greater things to do for God. She's not going to be around. She kept iterating that. And so I had a dream a couple of weeks later that she passed away and that she was sick. But I didn't try to get in contact with her. I had moved by then, and I didn't try to get in contact with her. And the night that she passed, I could not sleep. I didn't know what was going on with her. I knew she was, but I just couldn't rest. And I went to sleep about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I had this dream that she came up out of my bathroom floor. And she said, this is your season. This is your time. this is your season, this is your time. And so I went to the wake, and I found out that she died like 4 o'clock that morning at the very time I went to sleep. And so I went to the wake and stuff, and then I began to hear some things from people that went to the church that, you know, that this one deaconess, she said, you know what? She said she wanted you to take over her church. She kept telling the other deaconesses to find you because she wanted you to take over her church. They were like, no, one of us should take over the church. She shouldn't take over the church. One of us should take over the church. And she said, I tried to tell them that that was not what the pastor wanted. And it ended up with some man being over the church, and it just became a disaster. And even when he became pastor of the church, one of the members asked me to speak one Friday night, and after I did, some of the members went to the pastor because he lived in another city from where the church is. And they asked him to let me be the pastor because I was in town and they wanted me to be the pastor. And he got angry, and he was, it's my church, and no woman is going to do this. And he was jealous, he was envious, and he was competitive. And I told him, I said, he's not going to even stay here. He's not moving here. I said, he wants to be church in where he lives. And today, he has a major church where he lives. And he tells the people in the town that we live in, don't come to his church. And he's pretty much just left them on their own. And the same evil deaconesses that had all this negative stuff to say about me, I see it there, witches sitting on the pulpit, and nobody is receiving the word of God. The people stop coming because they weren't getting anything. Jealousy and envy is always, jealousy, envy, and competition will always destroy a thing. It will not prosper. And a lot of people that went there don't go anymore because there's no word, because the person God wanted in charge is not there because of jealousy and envy. When we look at Joseph, and he went through all he went through and ended up, you know, being Pharaoh's right hand, you know, the second in command. And he had to be the one to tell Pharaoh what he needed to do because the famine was coming. And his family still had to submit to him. He had to send for them. He loved them, even though they tried to kill him. He loved them and took care of them, made sure they had food, made sure they had somewhere to live, because that's what you do. Because other people have problems with you, you don't reciprocate that. You do what God would do. Hallelujah. You love and continue to love. I don't say you tolerate a lot of that stuff, but you love them anyway in spite of. But if we don't stop all of this jealousy and competition and envy, I used to do TV, come in, and they would compete with each other about, well, I had 200 people in my church today. Well, I had 15 people saved. It was a competition thing. I'm like, these people are insane. And, you know, I even had one night at the table, my mic got stuck. And there were two other pastors there. And I said, I told the manager, I said, I'm going to have some scissors to cut this mic out because it's woven in the thread. And one of the pastors pulled out a pocket knife and said, why don't we just cut out your tongue? And the other one said, if you cut out her tongue, God just don't give her another one. And they all laughed and thought it was funny. I didn't say anything because that man threatened my life. He didn't end me. Because I knew the word of God, and he didn't. And what happened was, the one with the pocket knife, I didn't even know anything about it. He lost his church within 1 week, his church, his home, his income, and he left the city. The other one lost his church, everything. And the manager who was running the station closed down. And when I learned that her and her husband both had cancer, and the Lord said, I want you to call and pray for them. And I'm like, they treated me like dirt. He said, I want you to call them and pray for them. And I did. And I made sure I had a clear heart and a clean heart. And I held no grudges, no animosities. I prayed for them on more than one occasion. And she called me and asked me to pray for her. Unfortunately, they're both deceased now. But I did my part because I don't, as one of my daughter's favorite scriptures is, don't repay evil repay evil with good. And that's what we have to do. But if we don't stop turning, trying to have the biggest edifice, trying to do all this, and yet people are still out here unsaved, people sitting in the church don't know who Jesus is, don't have the word of God. Those are people have been sitting there for 20 and 30 years. They've never witnessed to anybody. You don't even know they're born again. That is our mission, is to build the kingdom of God, not to get all worked up about who God is using and what they're doing. Stay in your lane, do what you're supposed to do, walk in what God has for you, and you'll be successful. And when you get the glory, you will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Instead of trying to tear other people down because you're jealous and you're envious. The devil is a lie. That is divisiveness. That is not building and coming together. We all have a part to play, and we need to figure out what God has ordained and told us to do and stay in that place. I am content to do what God has given me to do. I don't have to be on a platform of a whole lot of folks. I don't have to have all of this stuff. All I want to do is make sure people know who Jesus is before I leave here, because I am going to be held accountable. If I don't witness, if I don't live it, then what am I doing? So if I have 20 people to show up on Sunday, I'm going to minister to them and love on them like it was 2,000 people. I'm not going to wait till 2,000 people come and decide to do that. That's crazy. We have to learn and understand that jealousy and envy, competition, bite back, biting, all of this mess are worse from the pits of hell, godly in it. So I would admonish you today and plead with you to ask God to show you your heart, show you your mindset. Let him teach you what's going on, and if there's anything in you that's not right, that you would ask him to cleanse you from that and remove that mess. In this, all of this junk, you know, my mother passed away filled with bitterness and envy. She got so angry with me because I was doing what she wanted me to do, was doing what God wanted me to do. And she felt like it should have been her, because all she could see was people coming to the church, people surrounded me after church and all of this. And these are things that she brought up. And one day she said, "I don't understand why all these people like you. They must not know you like I know you." That's a hard thing to deal with. But I would always go back to Joseph and say, "Lord, you're my head and you're who I serve and depend on. And I'm going to continue to do what you do." He even told me when we went through a hard spell, "We can't help you. If you stop preaching, we'll help you. But we're not going to help you if you keep on preaching." And that was 17 years ago. And I'm still preaching. And I'm going to preach not only here, but I'm going to preach when I get to glory. I want to tell you, God bless you. I thank you for listening. I am so honored to be able to bring the word to you. Have a marvelous rest of the week. God bless you.